Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Warm up your home this winter with this season's new cosy bedding. In store and online at harrycurry.com.
0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. 51551 is our text number, joe at rte.ie, and 0818 715 815. It was 25 days ago, exactly, during the run-up to the general election. As people know, the main issue that was raised on Liveline during the election was the whole issue of carers, home help, people looking after loved ones, relatives invariably looking after loved ones at home and the way they were treated. And on the 11th of November, we got a phone call from Grace Jennings. And people will remember Grace so vividly, not just because her name suited her so well in her communication to us, but Grace, 85, as she told us, was looking after her husband, Benny, 95. And she had told us this vivid story of the previous weekend where Benny had unfortunately fallen in the bedroom, in the bathroom, and she was on her own. And to get him back to the bed, she made a makeshift stretcher with a bathrobe, and Benny lay on that, and Grace pulled him back and eventually got him settled again. And Grace was looking for more home help because her home help had been reduced dramatically a number of months previously. And we tried, and a lot of people tried. We thought, well, in my naivety, I thought, given the power of Grace's voice and the impact of the story and the timing of it, that it would be settled very quickly. But unfortunately, Grace did not get any more home help. Now, Grace rang us this morning to tell us that Benny has passed. Benny Jennings died this morning. Grace, of course, was with him. And Grace asked, could she, and it is her wish, and we will obviously adhere to it. She asked, could she thank the people who helped her, not just in the recent past, over the many months and indeed years with Benny. Grace Jennings. Grace, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
And condolences, Grace, from the bottom of my heart.
Thank you very much.
You really are a remarkable woman, and Benny was a remarkable man.
Well, that's very nice of you to say so, but I do think there are a lot of remarkable people out there. And I've got to say thank you to all the people who helped me throughout his leading up to his passing.
Yeah.
They were just wonderful neighbours, friends, and also the carers, the palliative carers and the everyday carers were just wonderful.
Brilliant.
They really were. And they were so attentive and kind, and I would just like to say a big thank you.
And what you were telling us, as I say, 25 days ago, that Benny, obviously he wasn't mobile, but he was totally compos mentis, and you could have your conversations and your discussions as normal. When did Benny deteriorate?
Oh, well, he deteriorated about 10 days ago, maybe two weeks ago. He was getting worse. And
okay.
That was it.
And when did you realise you'd have to call in the hospice?
Oh, it'd be about 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
And I just can't say enough about them. They were absolutely wonderful. And they made life so much easier.
Okay.
It was great to have them there and at night, like they were. They were wonderful. And thank you again.
And Benny stayed at home?
Oh, he stayed at home, almost definitely.
Yeah. Was he adamant about that, Grace, from the get-go?
Oh, well, you know, we had discussed it a long time ago, and we said we wouldn't let either go into care, if at all possible. And because of the help we got, we were able to realise that dream, if you want to call it a dream. But anyway, it was very nice. It made the end of his life very pleasant.
Yeah. Now, you were on to us originally about the reduction in home help.
Yes.
I think you were reduced to 5 hours a week.
Yes, so
did Did that change? You had got 10. Did that change at all after?
Yes, because we had an hour in the morning and an hour in the evening.
Okay.
And unfortunately, our carer died.
Yes, Ronan.
The one who did all that. And he was replaced by somebody who just came an hour in the morning.
Okay.
And that was it. He didn't come in the evening or the weekends.
So that was it.
But eventually we did get somebody and that was all. But, I mean, there were just all these, senior this, senior that, head of this, head of that. There just seemed to be a continuous run of Indians, of chiefs, and not enough Indians. I couldn't believe it, really.
But once you contacted the hospice and they, as per usual, the palliative home care team from Galway Hospice...
You can't believe it, really. They were wonderful.
Okay.
Absolutely wonderful.
And was Benny...
They made his passing so much easier.
Okay. And Grace, was Benny able to talk?
No. Okay. No, he'd lost his voice.
Ah. And he passed away this morning?
He passed away this morning very peacefully.
Okay.
And, you know, I was with him, so...
Of course.
You know, that,
of course you
were.
It's
a pleasure and a privilege.
Okay. And are you... I know, given his age and given the challenges, medical, both of you have had. Are you not in shock still, Grace?
Well, I suppose maybe I am, really.
Yeah.
But it hasn't quite hit me yet, but I'm sure it will at some stage.
Now you're.
But by the way, before I forget, thank you very much for your lovely card. Is it a drawing or a
painting? Yeah,
a sketching.
Painting, a watercolour, but that's
oh, lovely.
That's of no great consequence in the difficulties. But Grace, you were so anxious the last time to thank your neighbours, so I presume.
Look, there isn't enough thanks for my neighbours and my friends. They were wonderful, but the neighbours were exceptional. Imagine they arrived this morning with our breakfast for my cousin and I. Just wonderful. Yeah, I'm afraid the neighbours are just outstanding, and that's all I can say.
Yeah,
a whole lot of them.
Well, I'd say you attract outstanding neighbours, Grace and Benny, in your own personalities and your own gratitude.
Oh,
it seems
I don't
you have.
Know. I wouldn't say
You're
that.
Right, I know. But one thing you haven't lost in the 25 days, Grace, is your modesty. Cause you were
oh,
the
do you
same.
Think so?
Yes, you were the same with me. And
I'm glad you said.
I don't want to be giggling on the day that Benny passed. Tell us about Benny. He was 95. Between the two of you, you had 180 years and more to
That's
come,
right.
please
and
God, on this 66 earth.
66 years married.
Wow.
Well, we were very lucky to meet one another in the first place, like the same sort of thing. Well, not all. I didn't like the golf. Or football, but that didn't matter. He did, and I couldn't care less. I did something else.
And where did you meet?
We met in England.
Yeah.
My parents went to England in 1945, and they brought me over in 1947, and I met Benny in 1956.
Okay, six.
But I wasn't allowed to go out with him until I was 18.
Oh, my God. So you met him when you were 16?
Yes.
And how did you meet?
We met, my parents ran a Cayley, with the help of the parish. And it was lovely, lovely music and dancing.
Yeah.
And of course it attracted the Irish from around the county.
Of course,
And he came along and he liked dancing as well. He was a very good dancer, but he couldn't dance an old-time waltz. But we had this lovely man from Connemara. Benny sourced him for me. He said, he's a good old-time waltzer. So he would ask me to dance, and that was it. And then we ended up getting married, and we had lovely friends from Connemara who, when we were deciding to come back to Ireland, they insisted we come to Connemara.
And where?
Neither of us had ever been.
But where was Benny from, originally?
Benny's from Castlewellan in County Down.
Okay. The mountain. And was he christened Benny?
He was Bernard.
Bernard. Oh, okay. Okay, Bernard Hugh. So you met when you were 16.
Yes.
He was a couple of years older.
Yes.
And you got married at what age?
Oh, he was 9 years older. And
oh, my
we got
gosh.
Married when I was 19.
Okay. I'm glad for that clarification. You say he was 9 years older than you?
Yes.
Okay. And you got married, what age were you, Grace, when you married Benny?
19.
Isn't that incredible?
And yes, it is, really.
And what brought you back to Ireland?
Well, my husband worked for himself and work was drying up. And he said
to
me, I think
he was a painter and decorator, wasn't he? You told me that.
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
And so he wanted to come back to Ireland, but he couldn't go back to the north with me and my English accent.
Okay.
So our friend said, oh, you'll have to come to the west. You'll have to come to the west. Well, neither of us had ever been to the west. But anyway, we took the chance and off we came. And we've loved it. Oh, we just love it. And that's all there is to it.
Okay. And you will stay there, Grace?
Well, you know, I can't make any arrangements at the moment. But from where I am at the minute, I've no intention of leaving. But you don't know where life takes. You know, it's not the same maintaining a property, you know, when you're a person on their own.
True.
Yep.
And
but to all intents and purposes, I shall be here forever.
Yeah. And do you have relatives of Benny or indeed yourself to contact about the bereavement?
Oh, yes. Well, we just rang the ones that we're close to and that was it. His nephew came over from England the other day.
Great.
Not expecting him to pass away. Yeah. But anyway, he's here.
Okay.
And then he has a nephew in Dublin and a nephew in Carrick-on-Shannon.
Okay. And I think it was a nephew in Dublin that originally suggested to you that you ring this number, so to speak. Grace, is it too early to talk about funeral arrangements?
Oh, no, they've already been made.
Oh, have they? Well, tell us, please. Yeah. It'll save you telling people if you can.
Yes, well, he's coming home tonight from the funeral home and then we go to the Agricultural College in Mount Bellew tomorrow evening.
And
Mass. Okay. In Menlock on Saturday morning.
Okay.
And then we go after Mass to Bella Pusta Cemetery in RD in County Louth.
Okay, tell me about that
cemetery.
That's
where my father's buried.
Okay, in RD?
Yeah.
So you'll arrive there, what, Saturday? You'll arrive there at what, 3 or 4 o'clock maybe?
Saturday, about 3 o'clock.
Okay. And is... Again, I'm very conscious that Benny is only died this morning, but you're so strong. Grace, did Benny talk about his funeral?
No, he didn't. We didn't really talk about it. He knew where he wanted to be buried. We bought the grave some years back.
Oh, good. Okay.
So it was just a matter of joining things up and making arrangements and getting it sorted out, which my cousin, who's here from New York, helped me greatly.
Great. And would you have anything specific at the Mass, music, or do you think there's...
No, they play the Mourne, you know, County Down.
Oh, the Mountains
of Mourne.
Okay. Well, that's very evocative, isn't it? Castle Whelan and...
Very much, yes, I think so.
Okay.
And I did want a Christy Hennessy number, but I didn't realise Christy Hennessy had died.
Ah, Christy, the legend Christy
Hennessy.
Yeah,
we both love Christy Hennessy, but anyway.
What was the Christy Hennessy song?
Oh, my God, I can't remember
now. Okay, there's so many classics.
Yeah, oh, he was just very evocative.
Yeah. So how would you like Benny to be remembered, Grace? As a good, decent...
His honesty.
His
honesty and... We had a great sense of fun. He had a lovely sense of humour.
Right.
And he was quite serious as well, but at the same time, we did enjoy some fun.
And I see, Grace, you've just gone up on RIP.ie. It's a beautiful note, beautifully written note, as I presume your hand is in this. The death has occurred of Bernard Hugh Benny Jennings and it says... Benny passed away peacefully at home, surrounded by his loving wife, Grace, family and friends, predeceased by his siblings, Margaret, Billy, Gerard, Raymond, Dermot and Ronnie. So his no siblings still alive, is that correct, Grace?
No, he has one sibling.
Oh, very good.
Two siblings alive.
Okay, deeply regretted. Here, I'll read down. That will give me the information. Deeply regretted by his loving wife of 66 years, Grace, who we're talking to, his sister Bernadette and brother Brandon, nieces, nephews, cousins, relatives, neighbours and many friends. May Benny's kind and gentle soul rest in peace. And then there's the details. And you say, please, donations to Galway Hospice, family flowers only, donations to Galway Hospice and Madra. Is Madra an animal charity? It is, is it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
You love that. Okay. It's up to you. The life goes on, Benny, and you, the next while will be very difficult. The next few days will be...
Yes, it will, but... As I say, once you have lovely people around you, it does make life easier.
Okay. So can we go out? As you remember, Benny, people feel they know him because of your... They know him somewhat, from
That's
your description
right.
here 25 days ago. But we leave, if we can, on the gentle song, The Mountains of Mourne, in memory of Benny, and with every good wish and condolence to you, Grace.
Thank you, and please thank everybody who's been so kind to me.
And that's the wonderful voice of the late Brendan O'Dowd from Loud, isn't he, from that part of the world, in memory of and at the request of Grace Jennings, in memory of her husband Benny, who died this morning, age 95, and had become part of the story of this programme 25 days ago. And Benny will be buried. I've tweeted the details. But Ballapoosta Cemetery, believe it or not, it's in near RD in County Louth. But actually, if you look at it on Google Earth, it is in the shadow of the Mountains of Mourne. And that song obviously had an awful lot of meaning for Benny and Grace, because they met in London. And that's where that Mountains of Mourne story begins. And Benny's story has ended, unfortunately. He has moved on to another life, so to speak. That's Grace's belief and Benny's belief. And may he rest in peace. And to Grace, and she will come back onto me if I don't say, to Grace, all the friends, all their brilliant neighbours, the palliative care team in Galway, who were called in 10 days ago, to all the carers over the years who've looked after them, and the HSE. And I know they had their complications during the election about hours and all that, but Grace would want that to be said. So Grace, go gently without Benny, and Benny, go gently. I hardly believe after 66 years the two of you could ever be separated. God rest Benny, and thanks Grace.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And Joe at RT.ie. Ernest Shackleton is one of our greatest explorers. His life and explorations are entwined also with the Kerry man who's come to the fore rightly in the last 10 years. And that's Tom Crean. But Ernest Shackleton is from Kilkee in County Kildare, and a nearby Athy. There's a magnificent mural. Takes up the full extent of a gable wall of a house, plus an annex, so to speak. And it's a beautiful, beautiful mural. And it depicts Ernest Shackleton on his explorations, dressed with his beanie hat and his very heavy jumper and his makeshift braces over the jumper. And then underneath, down towards the bottom of the mural, the one third of the mural, is all the various pieces of equipment that denote that he was an explorer of tremendous achievement. Tremendous achievement. But something has happened. Ernest Shackleton has become Ernest Shackleton, because the ESB have stepped in. Who wants to start on this? James Mahan. James, good afternoon.
Hello, Joe. How are you?
Good. Your best description, please, of what you're now looking at. Instead of the incredible mural of Ernest Shackleton, what has happened to the front of it?
It's an eyesore. It's a a junction box, quite large. It actually blocks out, I'd say, you know, where you were talking about the bottom third of the mule.
One third is gone,
all the various. Yeah, it is now blocked out by this.
It's an ESB substation. And it's the only
structure.
I know. It's the only ESB substation in the South Pole at this stage. Because it's slap bang in the middle of. You cannot see one third of the mural because of this.
No. And no matter what angle you would stand at, because it's virtually beside it. You know, so it seems crazy to what has happened. Now, I would say it's a genuine mistake that somebody is probably, you know, just looking at a building there, not realizing there's a mural on it on a map and saying, right, there's a nice place for it and we'll put it there. And it's out of the way. But unfortunately, the mural is there. But I can't imagine that whoever decided to put it there actually visited the site and looked what they were doing.
But the mural is very the mural is very well known, not just nationally, but internationally. It's very distinctive. Brilliantly executed. How long is the mural on that gable wall?
The mural, I'd say, is there 3 or 4 years now. And, you know, I mean, it has attracted a great... And as you say yourself, it's a stunning piece of work.
Yeah.
You know, and it really depicts them and is very, very lifelike and a very, you know, likeness of the man. It's located within a stone's throw of the town hall, which is now doing a huge renovation work and which will become a museum dedicated to Ernest Shackleton.
Oh, magnificent.
You know, and there's it's absolutely super. And it ties in there. The town is home to an autumn Shackleton school every autumn, which attracts people from all over the world.
Okay.
You know, it's amazing that actually, that people going to the South Pole will always make sure that they're in a tie for that particular time. You know, that a lot of the actual expeditions and that will make sure that they work themselves around a tie because it is so important that it really is, you know, the coming together of people, you know, explorers, artists, you know, everybody involved with the South Pole and those with an interest in Shackleton. As I say, he was born in Kilkee, around 10 kilometres outside of Athy, between here and Castledermot. I know he only lived here for, you know, a short while before leaving, but, you know, he's one of our own. You know, and as you say, Anna Scall has quite rightly,
Tom Crean,
celebrated Tom Crean, and Athy are celebrating Ernest Shackleton. We have a statue to Ernest Shackleton as well, just, you know, again, no more than 100 metres from there, and that, I think, was unveiled in 2016. You know, and it does attract, you know, visitors there to come and see it.
We've tweeted another side-on photograph to try and show people the extent. Like, surely when they were putting in the substation, this substation was not built in a day. Sure it wasn't. It didn't arrive in the back of a crane, a back of a truck, and just dropped there and drove off. These are big. Surely as they were erecting the substation, somebody said, lads, are we blocking the mural?
Well, if they tried to block it anymore, they really couldn't, you know, unless they increased the height of it and block it out completely. Like, it is so close to it. Like, you can't, there is nowhere you could stand now to get an actual picture of the full mural. It is that close to it. And the worst, well, I won't say the other thing is that there is council ground to the side of it. So it could actually have went there.
Well, the ESB tell us that the substation was located in consultation with Kildare County Council, who also happened to pay for the mural a few years ago, didn't they?
They did.
Okay.
They did.
Declan King, stay with us, Joe at RT.ie. I don't know what's going to be done. Declan King and Carlo.
Declan King and Athy here.
Oh, Athy, sorry, I don't know where Carlo came from. It's on the screen. Okay, tell us, Declan, can you give any more heft? James has been very good to the description of this. Do people not get a shock? Pardon the pun. Did people not get a shock when the substation was erected right in front of the mural?
Well, I suppose a bit like James, I was a bit shocked. When I saw it being dropped there, I have a business on a square. I mean, I'm down here for the past 49 years. And when I saw it being dropped, I just thought to myself, they're leaving it there just for now because they're going to move it or whatever because there's space there at the side, especially with all the fantastic work that Kildare County Council are doing out there. And credit given to them. It's amazing what they're doing out there. You know, what the architects and engineers have done. You really have to see it to believe it, you know. But unfortunately, it's the location of this. God, it's not great now, you know, because you're covering up this amazing mural, as James said there. And when you're coming down from the church, you're looking at the town hall and it looks amazing. Then you drive past to where this beautiful glass sculpture is. And what do you see? You see the substation, you know. Maybe it's painted like a hut for to represent Shackleton's hut or something. I don't know, but you know, it's big. It's a big thing. You know, it's shocking, really, is what it is. You know, to see if considering what's going on there, it's because what Kildare County Council are doing is spectacular. It's the only way I can put it.
Okay,
amazingly spectacular what they're doing here, in the centre of its eye. You know, but it's really kind of. Yeah, it's shocking to see this there where it is in front of this fantastic mural that's done with Shackleton, his adventures and that. Because you have to stop and think what this man did.
Of course,
and just read some of his books, you know. And here we are in the middle of a tie and we have this, you know, heritage and history to us here. You know, as Jim said, he's one of our own, you know.
Of course. And in international terms, his achievements were remarmable. Remarkable. And his fellow explorers at the time didn't. Amundsen say he was the greatest explorer that ever lived. Larry Connell, Larry, good afternoon. You're taking these magnificent photographs.
Yeah, I took a few pictures to show people what it was like. I reckon it's, as James said, that some engineer in Nace was looking down at a map and saw a space there in front of the mural, but didn't realise the mural was on it. And that'll do fine there. Now, if they knew the mural was there and they did it then, well, absolute shame on them completely. But I'd say it's just a mistake, really. Nobody wants to admit it at this stage and cough up. I mean, they could bury it. They could move it over to the council ground to the left of the picture. Or I suppose if they don't, we'll have to get the lady back and make her paint it like a ship's binnacle or camouflage it some way and then have a bubble coming from Shackleton and saying, that's another fine mess you got me into.
Now we can say, that's another achievement that has not been acknowledged. I brought electricity to the South Pole.
Yeah, that's another claim to fame he'll have.
Now the artist.
But as you can see, it is a fine mural, and it's an absolute travesty that green box is there in front of it. I thought when I saw it first that it was just temporarily there, and they would move it eventually. But I think they will have to move it after this because you know it's not just the people of Attie that are annoyed about it, but the visitors that they're going to bring to that marvellous museum.
Heritage.
Oh my God, how could they do such a thing as that, you know?
There's no other country, countries with our heritage.
There you go, you can see the pictures yourself.
Yeah,
you
stay there,
anyone
stay there,
that
Larry,
them, you're putting them up, I think, so they'll see what the whole kerfuffle is about.
Okay, so stay there for a sec, because Elwa Gillow is the artist. Eloise, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, hi.
How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Have you seen the photographs of what they've done
to
you?
Yeah, I have, yeah.
What do you think?
Well, I've seen the photographs and it's obviously not ideal and I've heard that locally people are not very happy about it and would ideally like it to be moved so that they can see the mural properly again.
But like one third, if you grid it, which I've done, one third of the mural at the bottom is obscured.
Yeah, it's a shame. Yeah.
And what was there? I can't see it clearly. I have a newspaper photograph. What was beyond where the substation is now? Obviously,
the binnacle, the navigation equipment that Shackleton was using
to denote that he was an explorer.
Yeah.
At a particular time.
Yeah.
How long did it take you to do?
It was about a week, and it was a really really enjoyable project because it's such a fascinating museum and. And there's such a fantastic renovation going on at the moment. It's a shame that they've now covered up the mural like this.
And where? How did you come to do the mural, Eloise?
I was invited to do it, I suppose, okay. because I paint realist images and
Great.
And would be able to paint a portrait of Shackleton like that.
And what did you work off? Photographs, and I don't know if were there any portraits painted of Shackleton? Maybe there were. What did you work off?
Yeah, it was photographic material. Then yeah. actually, that is a still from a moving image of
oh,
Shackleton.
Wow.
I think, yeah, that I found. And then I painted from that photograph, essentially, I painted the mural.
And have you done other murals? You must have, obviously.
Yeah, yeah, quite a few, yeah.
And where are they, all over the UK and beyond?
Yes, there's a couple more in Ireland and then in the UK and beyond, yeah.
And where else in Ireland is your work?
I've worked in Dunleary and Carrick-on-Shannon.
Okay. And I'm just after coming up on the, you did that incredible mural in Dunleary of people swimming.
Yeah, above, that was the first one I did in Ireland.
Wow,
yeah.
Above the dry cleaners.
Yeah.
And as if they're under the water and they're swimming towards or making their way. That is beautiful. That is beautiful.
Thank you.
And now, Eloise, can we, using the substation, which is grey, Can you paint over the substation? We'll make sure the electricity now is turned off. Can you reinstate the image, the significant part of the image that's missing because of the substation? Can you reinstate it on the substation? Do you follow me?
I see what you mean. I think it could be a bit tricky with this image, but
yeah.
I could look at it. I think I'd need to see it. See it in person there.
Yeah.
I think it seems that ideally it would be moved, because if it could just be moved a few feet to the left, then that that would solve it. But if that's really not possible, then I'm open to working with the council to
okay.
find a solution. Yeah, whether it's with that design or something. Yeah.
But I'm just wondering, looking at it. I know you haven't had much time. You've only found out. It could be incorporated. Could be incorporated as a structure on the bridge of an open boat. In other words, a wheel. Because the way you have Shackleton's hands outstretched, he could be at the wheel of a boat, which he often was. But anyway, you are willing to come back, so to speak, explore ideas, as the fella said.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Let's see how we manage to resolve it to make it look good again.
Okay. Kildare County Council. The ESB said it was installed in conjunction with Kildare County Council, the location. But it was Kildare County Council who commissioned the mural. So surely they knew where it was. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I don't know, how it happened, but...
Breaking news, Eloise. The council says they are looking at what can be done to incorporate the substation into the mural and minimise its impact. You've obviously oodles of creativity, but you're going to be stretched now to incorporate an electricity substation into a South Pole image of Ernest Shackleton and his binnacle and various other exploration accoutrements and accessories. But anyway, where are you working now, Eloise? Are you on a commission at the minute?
I'm currently in Barcelona and I have a mural project next week near Madrid.
Oh God, I'm sorry I asked. it's very glamorous. And how do you work? Do you work on your own? You put up a scaffolding?
Yeah, I usually work on my own and often sometimes with a scaffolding, but often with a cherry picker or a scissor lift.
Okay.
That one was done with a cherry picker.
And what materials are we using? It's oils, I presume. Is it some form of weatherproof?
No, it'd be exterior house paints, weatherproof
magic.
Paint.
Oh, well done. And when you're up on the scaffolding in a thigh, Eloise, do you get a lot of people saying, excuse me, ma'am, what are you doing?
Well, people were really friendly there.
Yeah.
Once when the image started to come together, people were saying good job and saying hello. So yeah, it was good. Okay. There was good reaction when I was
painting
inside.
When you're up there working on that scale, what are you are you working off your original image gridded or whatever? How do you transpose onto that scale and get it right? Get it
sold. Absolutely. I use a kind of grid to be able to scale it up. Yeah.
Okay. And you have to climb down from the scaffolding every now and again, walk 50 yards back, hold your paintbrush vertically and say, yes, no, it's working or not.
Yeah, exactly. You need to get distance to actually see if it's working. Yeah.
Okay. Well, ideas are pouring in. Eloise, I hope I'm pronouncing your name. I'm looking at the spelling.
Yeah.
Okay. Could you turn it into an iceberg?
I'm not sure. I would need to look into it. It seems like the most easiest thing, well, it seems would be if it could be moved, but if not, then we can look into creative solutions and, yeah.
Well, given that Shackleton's greatest achievement with Tom Crean and the other five or six lads was when, wasn't it, the Endurance was ice-locked and they had to make their way to Elephant Island, that incredible trek.
Amazing.
That incredible trek. Okay, your work is fantastic, Eloise. Well done, well done.
Well, thanks very much.
But I suspect now you might be returning to a Thai sooner rather than later. Now, we don't have the glamour of Barcelona or the Soraya's house in Madrid or the Gran Via or the Prado or the Tyson Art Galleries, but there's still a Thai still has an awful lot going for it.
Definitely does,
We have the glamour here, Joe. Don't worry about that. Well, we have the glamour in a Thai, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. And you keep it well hidden, Larry. That's a lovely spot. And the Heritage Centre sounds magnificent. And it's just great to see towns embrace that history and that past and recognise it. So, Eloise, thanks indeed. You say you are willing. Obviously, you'll have to negotiate, but you are willing to come back and have a look and to see what can be done.
Yeah, I'm open to trying to find a solution.
Has it ever happened to any of your murals before?
That's kind of part of the thing with working in public spaces, that it is always changing. And there are lots of different people working in the same space with different goals. So, yeah, I've had things, well, you know, murals that have the walls been torn down and then they're gone. And I accept that that's part of it, that it's dynamic. But I haven't had this exact situation before, no.
And you have a very distinctive signature, a little square in the corner. Has that been obscured in Athai now, where your own signature?
I haven't noticed whether it's been...
I'm trying to look at it here. Where do you normally put your signature in the bottom right-hand corner?
Or the pen, it's not always, it depends which corners
the image
makes the most sense.
And the colours behind it, yeah. Okay, exactly. Well, I'm telling you, Eloise, there is uproar over this. This could make it onto the floor of our national parliament. There's so many people upset about this, this mural being one-third obscured by this ESB substation. So will you be on standby, Eloise, to appear before the Irish Parliament to answer questions? But you've answered most of them.
Okay.
But you're an artist. Well done and congratulations. And for people to go out to the people in Dublin especially, make sure you have a look at that magnificent. How long did that one take you in Dunleary? The swimming one?
That was also a week.
A week, okay. God, you're great. You're very, very fast worker. Very fast worker. Okay, best wishes in Barcelona and Madrid. I know it's difficult to be there, Eloise, and do your best. Do your best. Persevere.
Thank you.
Persevere. That's Eloise Gillow, the artist. James Mahon, Declan King, Larry Connell. We haven't heard the end of this, by the way, talking about beautiful visions. On yesterday's programme, we were talking about prosthetic eyes and this bizarre situation in Meath of the low grant compared to every other county, because prosthetic eyes are, as we've discovered here 3 months ago, very expensive. Dixon Hempenstall opticians were mentioned, and I think the impression was given that they're closed. They're not closed. They're, as I said yesterday, a great family company, and they're still operating and fun and as helpful and as professional as ever. Joe at RT.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
I mentioned yesterday that a number of people pointed out there's two major Christmas advertising campaigns on the go at the minute. And instead of the word Christmas on the billboards or the bus sides, they've put in the word Xmas. It's for 7-Up and for Pepsi Max. And people said the word Christ should not be replaced for the purposes of trying to fit on the side of a bus or the side of a billboard. The word Christ should not be replaced by an X. Now, we have Sharon Hurley has contacted us. Sharon, good afternoon.
Hello, Joe.
You say there is a connection between the letter X and the word Christ. And it's true, you've discovered it through no less the Book of Kells.
Exactly, Joe. So this time last year, I live just outside Kells.
Okay.
And this time last year, it's the birthday of St. Columb Hill, who is very closely connected with Kells and the Book of Kells.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the local organisations organised for a university professor who was an expert on the Book of Kells to come and present on the Christmas sections, the Nativity and the Birth of Christ, those sections from the Book of Kells in St. Columb Hill's church. So he was showing pages from the Book of Kells on a slideshow, and he showed that, and he was pointing out the different images in the artwork and what they meant and the different language between the different Gospels. But one of the things he said was that Christ in the Book of Kells, and I think in other kind of holy manuscripts and such like, that they considered it disrespectful to write the full name of Christ. And they would have been writing it in Greek, and the Greek word for Christ starts with the letter X.
There's about six letters in it,
exactly. Yeah. I don't know how you pronounce it, but it's the letter X.
Yeah, it's all Greek to me as well, yeah.
Yeah, me too. So they basically would only ever write X when Christ was mentioned in such holy manuscripts.
So you're saying Pepsi and 7-Up, they're two completely different companies, by the way. Pepsi and 7-Up and the other companies and other cars that use the word Xmas, these companies are actually reaching back through generations, through aeons. They're reaching back to the Book of Kells, and we're all ignoramuses that don't appreciate that intense cultural connection.
Well, in fact, it is a sign of respect. Not disrespect, but before I went to that talk, I would have thought that definitely they were taking Christ out of Christmas and not respecting the whole ethos of Christmas. And I doubt very much if they're deliberately reaching back to the Book of Kells.
Yeah, otherwise somehow.
It probably is to fit on the side of a bus, but unknowingly they are actually marking an ancient tradition to respect Christ and only write down his first initial and not his full name.
Okay, and I'm sure in the world we live in, I know there's a new Book of Kells experience being built in Trinity, because the Book of Kells isn't in Kells. That's the one place it's
not. No, they have a replica in St. Columb Hill Church.
A replica, which is lovely, which you could buy if there was a number of replicas produced, I think, from time to time. And the maybe Pepsi or 7-Up would sponsor the Book of Kells at some stage. Now, Trinity could do the Book of Kells is such a treasure, could do with any help it can get, couldn't it? Sharon, are you interested in local history or ecclesiastical history, or just it was just something you came across and you vividly remembered?
Well, Kells is very good for holding events of all different types.
Miles Dungan's Book Festival is one of the best in the country, yeah. Isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. He's a resident in the town.
Yeah.
And so this particular talk was tied up with a carol service in the in church. And then there is an ancient building that isn't St. Columb Hill's original house, but sits on the site of St. Columb Hill's original house. And in and of itself, it's ancient. It's just not the original. And they were doing a light show, projecting like light images onto the building. And so there was a candlelit procession from the church up the hill to St. Columb Hill's house. Wow. So it was all wrapped up in the same kind of package. So that's actually why I went along. But I must say that was the one thing that really stood out for me was the meaning of the X in Christmas, because it would have it would previously always have annoyed me if I saw Xmas.
Now, Sharon, do you send Christmas cards, can I ask?
No, I don't send Christmas cards, but I do send them.
But do you ever have occasion to write the word Christmas, and would you write it as Xmas? Speak freely.
Never, never.
Never, you see. It's deep in our DNA, isn't it? That we write Christmas.
If you go even deeper back, then X is actually... I still wouldn't write it. I'd still write Christmas.
Okay.
But at least it doesn't seem as offensive when you see Xmas written down once I learned the original source of it.
Yeah, yeah. So, but then again, you could get into an argument on Christmas Day and you could win it when someone says, I hate the word X, you've said of Christ, and someone could sit back and quaffing a little glass of port or maybe a large belly and a cigar and say, well, actually, X is a legitimate use of that letter in, if you go back to the time of our Lord, and he spoke, was it Aramaic, was it that he spoke in his language, and the word X is regarded as a mark of respect. That could be that could be just another row on Christmas Day. Generate. Thanks, Sharon. Yeah. Sharon Hurley, Joe at RT.ie, 51551. Mary Farrell. Mary.
Yes. Yes, thanks for having me on.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's great to hear from you. It's great to hear from you, because I'd never get a card from you, will I?
Well, I don't send cards.
That's what I mean.
I don't send cards. I don't receive cards. But the only cards I send, maybe if someone is unwell, I might send personal get well cards or something like that.
Okay, but you don't sell Christmas cards. Why?
I don't. It's just a policy of mine. I just don't send cards at Christmas, and I don't want cards.
Why?
Well, that's the way I am. I think Christmas is overrated anyway.
Okay. And Mary, did you ever send cards?
No, I never sent Christmas cards. No, but the only cards I ever did send was a get well card to someone in hospital.
Okay. Now, do you receive Christmas cards?
No, because I don't send them.
So you
if
sure?
If you don't send one, you won't get one.
Okay. And, for example, Post have sent a Christmas card to every household in the country. Have you got yours?
I've got one of those. I've got one of those, yeah.
Oh, good, I'm afraid. What did you do with it?
I didn't tear it up now. I put it aside. No, I didn't tear it up yet.
It's quite, I think it's quite fetching. It's colourful.
Yeah, it's not bad, no.
And you
I think Christmas is overrated because it's like that there's only one day in the year.
Yeah.
And there's 364 days in the rest of the year.
Okay.
You know.
And do you...
What I do is...
Okay.
I help people.
Okay, so what do you do on Christmas Day, Mary? Have you rituals?
No, I haven't. I'm very unorthodox. I don't do anything. I don't do anything for Christmas Day.
I shouldn't ask. Are you anyway religious? Would you attend a service or a mass?
I would go to Mass. Yeah,
okay.
I would.
Well, is the atmosphere on Christmas Day at Mass not different? With the children and...
Well, I suppose it would, yeah. Well, I have no children, you see.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe it's different. If a person... I'm only speaking for myself.
Yeah, but you were... I can safely say you were a child once yourself.
Oh, I had a very good childhood.
Yeah.
And my mother always for the Christmas. She used to cut it in the woods across the road from the lodge we lived in the country. She used to have, I don't know where she got the tree, but she got it somewhere. She used to cut it in the woods.
And would you put up a tree?
I don't, but I have all that gear and I never put it up. I have a lovely Christmas tree and I don't put it up. Yeah.
Why not?
Lights and everything.
And why do you not put up the lights? Because it's a pain taking them down.
I couldn't be bothered now, you know.
Okay.
But, I mean, so this Christmas, I mean, during the year I help people. You know
what I
mean?
I've no doubt. People. Well done, I've no doubt. And what else do you do on Christmas Day, Mary? Like, it's 3 weeks from yesterday. It's next Wednesday.
So I don't work. So it's the same as any other day, really, for me.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, when I think when you're working, you appreciate it more, sort of.
Well, because you have more contact with people and...
Well, no, because you have... Well, you've more time around Christmas. When you're working, you're having time because you're working. You're working, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
Okay. So who will be in the house with you generally?
Myself and a Pomeranian.
A Pomeranian?
Yeah.
And that's a dog, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay. And what's his name? Her
Foxy
name?
Foxy the second, that's all of them.
And what happened to Foxy the first? He wasn't Foxy enough. What
I
happened?
I had another Foxy here, but I had to put him down. He got old.
Okay.
He was the both rescue dogs.
Oh, fair play. And is Foxy the second any relation to Foxy the first?
No relation whatsoever.
And
no.
Does Foxy the second get any special treats on December 25th?
I might give him a special. I might give him something now.
Would you put a bit of turkey out and Brussels sprouts and ham and all the trimmings, as they say in the best programmes, the mushy peas?
No, you get turkey dog food. That's the nearest thing you get to it.
No, I'm thinking of you, Mary.
Oh, me? Oh, no, I live at dinner. I don't go out. You see, I have high glucose level in my blood, so I can't take sugary food.
So you have
But I don't mind. I have this sweet food.
Okay.
It's
certainly
fine.
Okay. And I
make my own food, you know.
And I'm afraid to ask, would you sit down now on Christmas night and watch Mrs. Brown's Boys Christmas special?
I watch the television now.
Yeah, okay.
Of course I do.
And will you watch the
I'm like that head in the television with the tin man.
Oh yeah, the foreign post again. Not that you have to. Will you watch the toy show? Well, there we are now. Well, then you're now a completely different person to me than you were at the start of this call, Mary.
Oh no, I'm not a drip. I'm not a bore. No.
Oh, I know, you're not a bah humbug, and you're not a Grinch.
Oh no, I always say I'm not a bah humbug.
Great. Well, I'm glad I established that.
I've actually helped someone financially.
You what? Sorry, Mary.
I helped a person financially.
Well done. Well done.
So
well,
it doesn't have to be Christmas.
Here, here. Well said. Okay, Mary, can I say happy Christmas to you?
Well, a happy holiday to you. I never say happy Christmas.
Okay.
The thing is, it puts people under an awful lot of financial pressure.
I know, I understand
that's
I know.
That's why I'm against Christmas.
Okay.
People that can't afford it.
Okay. Well, happy Xmas, and you say happy holidays.
A happy holiday, yeah.
And to Foxy is the second as well.
Oh, Foxy's fine.
And how he looks after you, I hope. He barks when he has to bark.
He's a bit of an idiot, I think. He's not really
Foxy. So Foxy is not that Foxy after all. No.
Oh, no, well, he's not. He's close to people. I don't like... He's too friendly with people, you know?
Okay.
I don't like him being too friendly.
Okay. No. Mary Farrell, mind yourself. God bless. Happy holidays. Happy holidays.
Same to you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
There is an incredible mural just been unveiled in New Ross in honour of small things like these, the movie with Cillian Murphy. By the way, it's an astonishing image of Cillian Murphy, the full size of a gable wall again. But this one stretches down the side of the building with images of New Ross in the old times, so to speak. And remember, I'm trying to find out who did it. It's not evident from the tweet I read there during the ad break, but it's just been unveiled. And of course, remember, small things like these is set effectively around Christmas and Christmas Eve, so it's a beautiful mural. I'd like the one in Athy. Let's hope DSB don't arrive along now this afternoon with 3 pylons, 4 trucks, 7 substations to try and block it, because it deserves. I'd say a lot of people will travel just to see this particular mural. Where's Eve? Christmas Eve. Eve.
Eve.
Eve.
Hello, Joe. Good afternoon there.
What do you, you come just after you've walked to the bin and thrown in your recycling bin, of course, the on post Christmas yes. card. Why?
Absolutely. I just said I'd give you a call in line with the first lady that rang you yesterday.
Yeah.
I thought it was a joke. I thought, lovely card.
Mm-hmm.
It was well designed,
yes.
printed, all the rest.
Colourful. Decent card, yes.
Lots of print on it.
Yes.
Excellent quality.
Yes.
Not something that I would imagine came cheap to make and print and deliver and all the rest.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think it's such a waste of money sending one of those to every house in the country. But I guess I would say we have about 2 million homes.
Yeah.
And
oh, easily.
Did a few calculations on it and I reckon at the lowest cost, it probably cost about 200,000 to send those cards.
I know, it was more than that to print them. It was 2 million.
Yes.
2 million. No, yeah. By the way, and Puss would say we deliver them anyway. We deliver to most households over the course of a week anyway. So we just give these. It's our great staff that do the extra, go the extra mile, as they say. They deliver them. And Puss don't have to put a. I know people are upset. Yes, they send it. Well, the cost of the stamp, I won't be able to send a card. But then Puss are able to, because they obviously don't have to put a stamp on it. But you just don't like the idea, or you think it's misspent?
I think the design costs and the printing, I think the money could have been maybe donated to charity or something, especially at this time of year where, you know, charities are running low on funds. And I just feel the whole thing was a waste of money, and I feel that it would, you know, just a waste of money.
Okay, Margaret.
And I agree with your first caller yesterday.
Well, do you send Christmas cards, Eve?
I do indeed.
How many would you send?
Maybe about 20 or 30.
Okay. And do you write a simple greeting? Do you put a little message in saying everything fine here since we last spoke? And
sometimes, depending on who I'm sending it to. But this was like boring, pre-printed, nothing of any substance in it, and a total waste of money. Often wonder, on post, sorry for cutting in, do they actually publish how much does this, call it a venture for the Christmas cards, how much does it cost?
It's part
of
their
public knowledge?
Well, they'd say it's part of their marketing campaign, wouldn't they?
Yeah, probably.
Okay, stay there, Eve. What part of the country are you in, Eve?
I'm mid-Donegal.
Mid-Donegal. Let's go right, diametrically down to Wexford. Margaret Keegan, who was diametrically opposed to what Eve is saying. Am I correct, Margaret?
You are indeed, Joe.
Well, to make the argument, why do you love these cards?
Well, I received mine yesterday.
Okay.
And it was like a little ray of sunshine in an envelope.
Okay.
I looked at the card.
Yes.
The card is fabulous. It's Christmas love. Well designed. Beautiful message.
Okay.
And it put a big smile on my face. With all the misery going on in the world, I went, that is just fabulous. I have it on my mantelpiece.
Yes.
And I have been listening to Mrs. Scrooge, the Grinch. I'm not surprised. They're on their own. Because
I know
it that's sounds what the, like a
but there can be, I know, but can be everyone is in different circumstances.
If they're that upset about receiving something nice, why don't they?
Can I just
return
come in there, Joe?
Yeah, come in, Eve. Yes, come in, Eve.
I couldn't say I'm upset. I'm actually laughing at the cards being sent. I live on my own. But a total stranger in Unpus sending me a Christmas card is certainly not going to cheer up my day.
Okay. And is there a signature on the card? Is there the name of the CEO, David McRedman? Is there any, I haven't got mine. Is there any name on the card that would make it more homely, Eve?
Not a bit, no.
Okay. And what Unpus in the statement yesterday said to us, we were contacted after we did it last year. We were contacted by a number of people saying, thanks, it's the only Christmas card I got.
Well, I send cards. I don't think I'm being a Christmas Scrooge.
No, I know you're not. I know you're not. But but what about it can't be the only Christmas card that some people get. Now, maybe that would reinforce their sense of, if they are feeling lonely, if they're looking at just a solitary card on the mantelpiece.
A machine-printed card doesn't have much meaning to me anyway.
Yeah, okay. Do you send Christmas cards, Margaret Keegan?
Yes, I do, Joe Duffy.
And what?
And they're all different.
What do you mean they're all different?
They're all personal to the people that, one could be happy holidays, one could be happy Christmas.
And would you buy to my favourite niece, to my favourite godchild, to my favourite auntie, to my... Do you buy denominated cards? Do you follow me?
No, because I personalised them myself.
And every single one of them, you write saying, you would say, dear Mary or dear Peter or dear whatever, wishing you, okay. And where do you stand on X or Christmas? X instead of Christmas? Xmas instead of Christmas. Have you a position on that, Margaret?
I do.
Okay.
I think people should write what they want.
Okay.
And with our country being so diverse at the minute, I mean, some don't celebrate Christmas.
That's true.
So it would be appropriate to put, hope you're enjoying your holidays. Or enjoy the break.
As you say yourself, happy holidays rather than happy. That's your. Whose preference was that? I think that was the last caller. Okay, Margaret, happy Christmas. Happy holidays. And Eve, happy Christmas to you. I normally send a card to most people who contribute to Lifeline because they get no other acknowledgement. So. Eve, I'm sending you a card and you can throw it in the bin. Okay, bye bye. And I'd personalise it and I'd do a little watercolour with it. Bye bye, Eve. Happy Christmas. Love you all. Bye bye. Bye.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Ideas are flowing in what to do with the substation that's now blocking the Shackleton mural. Ruth Walsh, Ruth in Dublin, you have an idea.
Well, I have an idea. Maybe it's obviously up to the good people of Mackay, but the whaling station. When the five men left Elephant Island, Worsley, Hurley, McCarthy, Crean and Shackleton, 800 miles in seas with waves the size of skyscrapers, they arrive in South Georgia. They're on the wrong side of the island.
Yeah.
Three of them go over the mountain. Tom Crean, is the glacier is called after him down there in South Georgia. And they arrive into the whaling station and the Norwegian captain sees Ernest Shackleton, whom he assumed was dead. And Ernest Shackleton said, I am Ernest Shackleton, hardly able to speak. So
and the Norwegian captain says, I recognise you from that mural in Tai, County Kildare.
Well, it goes full circle. But the point is, anyhow, that the whaling station is quite, because when they heard the whistle of the calling the men to work in the whaling station, they knew they had made it.
They only crossed in
the 2 days where there was a break in the weather.
So you say
had ever crossed it.
Okay, a whaling station on the substation in the ESB substation in Tyne County. Thank you indeed, Ruth Walsh, Niall McMonagall on sound, researcher Richie Byrne, producer Rachel Graham, and Ray Darcy is next.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Warm up your home this winter with this season's new cosy bedding. In-store and online at harrycurry.com.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815 or send your WhatsApp voice notes to 087 484 8888.